So we're in a collection titled Names, and so we've been exploring the different Hebrew names of God found in the Old Testament. And our hope really in this collection is to explore the different names of God, and as we do so, we come to know who God really is and what he's really like. And so far we've covered the names Yahweh, I am who I am, Jehovah Ra, which is the Lord is my shepherd, Jehovah Jireh, which is the Lord will provide. And last week, did you guys love Noah and Patty? Yeah, they're so good. They shared on El Shaddai, which he did a beautiful rendition of the song, which is God Almighty. And so today we're going to continue that as we explore the name Jehovah Rapha, which is the Lord who heals. And so why don't we open with a word of prayer and we'll get into it. And God, we thank you for who you are. Thank you for this really fun, lively community. Thank you that you're here moving in the midst of us. And I thank you, God, that today you long to reveal yourself as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. And I think it's safe to say many of us come in with wounds, with brokenness. A lot of us come in with things that are bitter in our lives. We come in with tears. But we have hope that we can lean into the Lord who heals our pain, who heals our wounds. And so, Lord, we pray you would show up today. Love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to go to Exodus 15, verse 22. So I'm just going to read this story, and then we'll jump into it. This is what it says. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water, and when they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That is why the place is called Marah. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became fit to drink. There the Lord issued a ruling and instruction for them and put them to the test. He said, "If you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." So just setting it up. God delivers the Israelites from Egypt in one of the most epic miracles of all time. Come on, y'all seen the Prince of Egypt? There can be miracles. Beautiful, right? And he splits the Red Sea, leads them across, vanquishes their foes, delivers them from captivity and slavery into freedom. And for 3 days after this epic, miraculous moment, they're wandering the desert looking for water to drink, but they have no luck. Then after 3 days, they finally come across this water, and they're like, "Oh, thank God, we needed water. We need something to drink." But the catch is the water was way too bitter to drink. They couldn't hold it down, so they begin to grumble, to complain. And the thing to notice, it took them 3 days to forget about God's faithfulness and provision, 3 days to forget that God was powerful enough to split the seas in half, 3 days to forget that God cared about them. And it's easy to look at this and think, come on, like why would they doubt God? Don't they know that God's going to pull them through? Don't they know that God's got their back? Yet how quickly do we often forget when the next crisis comes up what God just did the last week or the last month? How often do we forget God's past provision when we're faced with our current circumstances? And so this is where they find themselves. They're in this tension. God did this miraculous thing 3 days ago, but now they have no water. Yet despite their grumbling, in this really weird story, God like highlights a piece of wood, like a tree branch to Moses. And Moses, he takes this tree, he throws it into the bitter water, and then miraculously, it becomes sweet enough to drink. And this is where we are introduced, where we first hear the name Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. Kind of an odd choice to introduce God as healer, isn't it? Like, you would think, like, he would be introduced as Jehovah Rapha when someone gets healed from a sickness or a disease, but here, where bitter water is made sweet and able to drink, is where we are introduced to the Lord who heals. Now, the Hebrew word Rapha or Rofa means to heal, cure, restore, repair, or make whole. I think when we think of healing, we tend to gravitate towards the idea of physical healing, but this word means so much more than that. This word Rapha shows up in the Old Testament 60 plus times, and it's used to describe many different types of healing. There is physical healing that it describes, healing of the heart, spiritual healing, healing of the land, healing of bitter water here in this story. And what it tells us is God's not just concerned with restoring one part of our lives, right? That we would be physically healthy but emotionally unhealthy. That we would be mentally healthy but spiritually unhealthy. No, God longs to bring holistic healing. His heart is to make us whole. It's always been. One of my favorite, he's pretty much like a Catholic mystic, Henry Nouwen. He says this: nobody escapes being wounded. We are all wounded people, whether physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually. Listen, I don't care if you've been doing therapy for 10 years, or you've gone through Sozo Inner Healing, or how many podcasts you've listened to, or how many books you've read. We are all wounded people in search of healing. And that's nothing to be ashamed of. In fact, woundedness is a part of our humanity that God calls us to embrace. Jesus embraced his woundedness when he went to the cross. See, when we deny our woundedness, we deny our humanity. And until we're willing to acknowledge our woundedness, we cannot begin to receive the healing of God. And so the place where the water was bitter, they named it Mara, which literally means bitter. Like, scholars think that the bitterness was a result of a mixing between fresh and salt water, which made it undrinkable. And it's interesting because salt water is really significant in many Jewish customs. If you guys remember, we used to do Seder. In the Seder meal, the Passover meal, there's a portion of the meal where they would take the bitter herbs and they would dip it in the salt water and taste it to remember the Israelites and their tears when they were in captivity. And so Mara here represents this idea of bitterness and tears. And the question I want us to consider as we go through today's teaching is, what are the Maras in our own lives? What are the bitter situations that we find ourselves in? What are the circumstances that bring about tears that we are going through? The name Jehovah Rapha reminds us that the God who turned the bitter water sweet is able to heal the bitterness in our own lives. And this is the significance of the name. He is the Lord who makes bitter things sweet. He is the God who wipes away all of our tears. And so today, I want to reflect on three manifestations of God's healing that I feel like God wants us to take us deeper into as a community. Y'all ready for that? Cool. All right. Number one. The Lord heals our bodies. The Lord heals our bodies. Throughout scripture, we see a God who physically heals people. Blind eyes, paralyzed, deaf ears, sickness, disease, the dead being raised back to life. There is a physical manifestation of healing that God sometimes offers. I remember how crazy it was when I came into this realization that God is Jehovah Rapha. I don't know about you, I remember reading all these Bible stories growing up, and I was like, man, why don't we see all these amazing things God did back then? Why don't we see it in our lives, in our world today? And then all of a sudden it clicked. Maybe God isn't the one who changed. Maybe our expectations for what God can do, maybe our expectations for the miraculous changed. How many of you know that God, the God who healed back then, is still the God who heals today? That these aren't just fairy tale stories that have no impact on our lives today. That God who healed back then still heals today. One of the most potent instances of healing that I witnessed was when I was in Indonesia. We held revival services in partnership with the local church. And I remember one particular service, you might have heard me tell the story before. They brought in a really frail old lady. And she was so weak, like she couldn't keep her eyes open, she couldn't walk, she couldn't lift her arms. And her family had to carry her in, one on each side. And I remember during the service, we began to pray for this woman. And the crazy thing is, her eyes started to open. She actually pushed off her family members who were holding her, who brought her in. And then she actually stood upright. And then what's crazier, she started to dance and like lift up her hands, which is crazy because the family was telling us she was way too weak to even hold herself up on her own. And for weeks, she had been able to do that. And so, you know, we see this cool thing happen, but we have no idea what really happened. There is no report. But weeks later, we actually get an official report of what happened. This lady was so sick that when the doctors visited her house, they actually diagnosed that she would actually pass away really soon. That just because of old age, she was getting weak and she would pass really soon. But after this revival service, what was crazy is the family actually were so certain of her death that they started building her casket in the house. Can you imagine like how like grim is that? That your family is literally building your casket, right? And what happened was, after she got home from the revival, she was so full of strength and energy and life and vitality. When the doctor checked her body, he's like, I don't find anything wrong. It's crazy. It's like you de-aged. Like, God gave you like another boost of life. They actually demolished that casket. And then people from all over town was asking her, like, what happened? And she would tell them, Jesus healed me. And so many people like came to faith because of this woman, right? Really powerful stories. God is still in the business of healing. But you might be asking yourself, and I'm asking too, that's cool and all, Pastor Mickey. Yes, God still heals. But does God always heal? Right? For every story I've heard of someone being healed of cancer, I know so many other stories of people who have passed because of cancer. For every person that I know that was healed of some sort of ailment, there's so many other people that still live with things that make them uncomfortable. For example, I have a really bad case of psoriasis on my body. I've been praying for years, God heal me. My skin's still jacked, right? What do we make of that? Does God always heal? For every person Jesus healed in Scripture, there were dozens of people that he passed by that he didn't heal. What about those people? And I think this is where a lot of people in the charismatic church have to reckon with some of the damaging theology that we perpetuated. Like, how awful is it to live your life believing that God didn't heal you because you didn't have enough faith? Like, who wants to be healed more than the person who's suffering, right? Or like, because you didn't pray enough. And I think these are some of the damaging things that we've believed about God. And where does this leave those who are not able-bodied, for example? Like, what do we reckon with that? You know, I have this whole teaching about how maybe disabilities aren't things that need to be healed, but actually reveal the deeper realities of God's kingdom. I'm going to share one other time. But there is this reality, and it causes us to confront this uncomfortable truth of God's mystery. And it's this. Sometimes God heals, and sometimes God doesn't. And no one knows why. And anyone that would claim to tell you why with 100% certainty, they lying, okay? This is actually mystery that we should reckon with, that we should wrestle with. But the question is, am I willing to trust in the goodness of God regardless of if he heals or not? Am I still willing to have faith and embrace the mystery that even though he didn't pull through in this way that I really wanted, that he's still good and has the best in mind for us, that he's still the good shepherd, that he's still in control? It's a healthy balance, right? I always pray and believe for healing, but I will always trust in God regardless of the circumstance. And I think this is the tension that God calls us to hold. Now, unfortunately, the church has historically held a really unhealthy view of how our physical bodies relate to God throughout history. So like prominent figures like Augustine, who were influenced by many of the great philosophers of his time, reasoned that our souls were ultimately the only thing that mattered to God. Have you ever heard that before? Like, it's only about your soul. Like, you need to go to heaven. Your soul's going to heaven. Your bodies don't matter. They're going to be decrepit. They're going to fade away because our bodies will one day wither, but our souls will live on for eternity. And so our bodies, they're seen as nothing more than vessels that carry our souls, avatars for our true essence and being, meat machines that simply exist to house our souls. And as a result, people often believed that the body is bad and the soul is good. But this is not true. God calls us to a fully embodied faith, meaning God actually cares about our bodies. He cares about our bodies. They're important to him. They're as much a part of who we are as our souls are. In fact, eternity, I don't know what you picture eternity like, but I used to picture eternity where all like these ghoul-like souls just floating in the ether of heaven and space. We're just like floating between the clouds. You guys ever think that? Like, that's how I imagine heaven to be. But do you know that Scripture actually tells us that God in the end times will resurrect and renew our physical bodies? In other words, if you don't love your body right now, you better get used to it because we're going to be spending eternity in them. Your body is it's as much a part of who you are as your soul is. It's important to God. This is why in 1 Corinthians 15:22 to 24, Paul says, "So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. Our bodies will be renewed and redeemed and made whole. They will be imperishable. They will reflect the perfect likeness of the one who created us, right? I just imagine physical 100, like God making my body. No, I'm just kidding. We don't know what that looks like, but God, the promise is that God will redeem and renew our bodies. Now, every time God heals here in our lifetime, if you hear a story of healing or you've seen God heal miraculously someone in your life, it foretells a coming day, this coming day, when God will renew our bodies once again, that our bodies will be made new. The reality is that our bodies will eventually break down again in this lifetime. Have you ever thought about this? Every person that Jesus healed died. Like their bodies eventually broke down and they passed 100% of the time. Every person that God heals eventually dies. So what's the point? The point isn't the healing. The point is the reality to which the healing points to. And it is that there is coming a day when our bodies will hurt no more, where our bodies will suffer no more, where our bodies will be perfected and redeemed. One of the most important mentor figures in my life was this man named Vernell Davis. His son's name's Anthony. We used to call him Papa Vern. And we would hold office hours, and he's this beautiful, big black man who would just pour into Krista and I during our early years of pastoring. And a few years ago, maybe about a decade ago, he actually had a stroke, and he was literally on the brink of death. He was about to die. But he came to one of our Wednesday night prayer services. And I remember during that service, like God healed him. It was crazy. Like he could barely walk. He was weak. But during that service, I remember at one point it ended up, he was running around the room, holding up his cane that he came up in. And God just healed him miraculously. And it was just this testimony that pointed to this reality of God as healer. But years later, he had another stroke. And then years later, he had another stroke, and he actually passed away just a month and a half ago, or it's been 2 months now. And part of me wonders, like, what's the point? Like, God, why did you heal him 10 years ago? And, like, just for us to get to this point where he's bedridden, and he was not in a good place, and he ended up passing away. And I realize the point is not the healing. The point is Papa Vern, as much as he suffered in his body in this life, he's no longer suffering anymore. And there's coming a day where his body will be resurrected, where he will be suffering the effects of his strokes no more, where he'll be able to be fully present and attentive and alive. That's the point to a reality which is yet to come. And so the Lord heals our bodies, but we have to understand God doesn't always heal. And the purpose of healing is to point to a greater reality beyond the one that we know. The second thing God heals, the Lord heals our souls. Now, many theologians define the human soul as the mind, the will, and the emotions of a person. And so when Scripture speaks of God healing our hearts, it's referring to like this holistic inner healing, this healing of all the parts of us that are beneath the surface, the healing of our souls. The psalmist says in Psalm 147:3, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And so these three areas, the mind, the will, and the emotions, God heals our minds. God is able to address the anxieties, the worries, and the fears in our head, the voices that tell us we're not good enough, the thoughts that keep us up at night. I was talking with someone about this. The greatest source of restlessness in our day and age is our inability to silence all the noises in our heads when we finally slow down, right? That's why we lay awake in bed at night thinking about all the should-haves and could-haves and what-ifs. And those things keep us from experiencing the rest that God intends for us. But God is able to turn the bitter thoughts in our minds into something sweet, right? God heals our emotions. God is able to heal the emotional wounds and the traumas that we've experienced in life, the feelings of hurt, heartbreak, sorrow, loneliness, bitterness, anger, right? He's not an Enneagram type 7 like me who would avoid feelings of pain at all costs. He embraces it. He's not afraid of our sadness. He's not afraid of your anger. He's not afraid of your fear. He's not afraid of the feelings that you feel. He wants to meet you in the midst of it, and he wants to offer you healing. Can I just say something? There are no such things as bad emotions and good emotions. Did you know that? Emotions are just emotions, right? But it is possible to have a harmful relationship with our emotions if we don't learn how to navigate them in a healthy way. And so what Jehovah Rapha isn't saying, what we're not saying is ignore all the negative emotions and embrace all the positive emotions. How many times have you heard that scripture teaching? Set your mind on things above, right? That's not what God's saying. He's saying embrace the good emotions, but also embrace the bad emotions. The bad emotions, right? The point is, we all navigate these emotions with God. It's not about ignoring one set and embracing another. And so he doesn't just call us to ignore our emotions. There are no such thing as bad or good emotions. He doesn't call us to permanent residence in them either. He offers us a healing, right? This is why scripture says he sits with us through the sorrow of the night so that he can lead us into the joy of the morning. And so he is able to heal our wounds, the wounds of our past. He is able to turn our tears into laughter. And the third thing, God heals our will. Another way to put it, he heals our disordered cravings. How many of you know not everything you want is good for you? You'll learn that real quick when you have a kid. Zion wants so many things that will end his life. You would think, we cook this hot bowl of soup, and we put it in the middle of the table, and the first thing he wants to touch, there's crackers, there's his food, there's water. The only thing he wants to touch is the boiling hot pot. I don't know why. Babies are just drawn to danger. But not everything that you want is good for you. I shared this a few weeks ago. Dr. Gary Brashears, he says, your strongest desires are not your deepest desires. In other words, there are deep desires within us that don't always feel like our strongest desires. You ever want something so bad, and you only thought, if I could get that thing, everything would be all good. I'll be set. I'll be fulfilled. And then you get that thing, and then you realize it didn't quite fulfill you the way that you had imagined or dreamed. Right? Jehovah Rapha heals our disordered desires so that we begin wanting what our souls actually long for, to thirst what scripture says, the living waters that leave us thirsting no more, to hunger for the bread of life that satisfies our souls. And so the Lord heals our bodies. The Lord heals our souls. And the last one, the Lord heals our relationships. One of the effects of our personal woundedness is that it leads oftentimes to relational woundedness, right? You've heard the term hurt people, broken people, break people. But here's the thing we have to understand. Jesus didn't just come to heal our relationship with God. He came to heal our relationships with one another. Right? The Western church often overemphasizes our individual relationship with God. But how many of you know that our relationship with others is just as important to God as our relationship with him? Jehovah Rapha heals relationships. He's able to turn the bitterness we hold toward one another into something sweet. Now, I was debating whether or not I should get into this next point. Because it's only been a week. But how many of you guys have seen The Last of Us, the last episode? Okay. There might be spoilers, okay? I'm so sorry. So shut your ear for the next 6 minutes. Let me put it this way. There are no spoilers for the storyline, okay? But there are slight spoilers for character development. But anyway, I'm going to get into it. It's been a week. Someone told me it's been a week. It's okay. So there's this powerful scene from season one finale of The Last of Us that aired 7 days ago. What are you doing? Catch up. Come on. Get with it. And so throughout the whole season, our Joel, our very handsome, very hot, grizzled, hardened male protagonist, right? He's haunted by this trauma of losing his daughter many, many years ago. And as a result, he has a hard time opening himself up to people, including this girl named Ellie, who he's entrusted to protect. And so throughout the season, it's as much about surviving zombies as it is Joel slowly being melted and opening his heart up again and being healed. And so you see Joel slowly start to open up to Ellie throughout the season. And then on the final episode, they share this tender moment where Joel opens up completely to Ellie. And he shares about how the loss of his daughter led him down a hopeless path where he eventually tried to take his own life, where it caused him to close up, where he was broken. And I just want to play this really short clip. I'm so sorry, okay? I'm so sorry. I'm that guy. I'm that guy. But it's going to be powerful. Just play it in. Just play it. Beautiful, beautiful. I was bawling during this scene. But how many of you know that time doesn't heal all wounds? How many of you heard it said time heal? No, time doesn't heal all wounds. Time can certainly help heal wounds, but it's not given. It's not a certainty, right? We all know situations where time actually hardened people, or time made people more bitter or more angry. And what Joel shared in this moment is powerfully true. We were hurt in relationship, and we need to be healed in relationship. We were hurt by people, and we need to be healed by people. Joel's wound stemmed from the loss of someone he deeply cared about. And it wasn't time that healed him. It was love. It was him opening himself back up to someone and receiving that love. See, God doesn't work in a vacuum. God can certainly do a healing work on our own, but to make us whole, God often uses the very thing that we've been hurt by to heal us. I share this story pretty often, but I didn't have a good relationship with my dad growing up. And I often thought me and him, we're just going to be like cool. Like I'm his son. He's my dad. We're not going to be close. But I remember there was a healing, a reconciliation that God did. It wasn't apart from my father. It was with my father. There was a reconciliation that happened in our relationship, not in spite of it. And I know that's not the case for many of us. Some of us, we can't reconcile with the people that hurt us. But oftentimes it's the people that God surrounds us with that helps us heal in place of that person. Right back in the story we read, what was the solution to the bitter waters? It was a tree. If you recall Moses, he throws a tree branch into the bitter waters and it becomes sweet. And in this story, it's through a tree that God brings healing to the water. And generations later, it's through Jesus, through a tree, that God brings healing to the entire world. Jesus dying on a cross for the ones he loved. That tree that was meant for death turned everything bitter in the world into something sweet. And that tree turns our bitterness, our tears, into laughter. That tree turns our mourning into dancing. That tree is the healing for the souls and for the nations. Isaiah 53:5, and we'll close really soon. He says, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Henry Nguyen, who I mentioned earlier, he has this idea of Jesus as the wounded healer. That it's by his wounds that we're healed. And what you see often with Greek mythology and with gods were perfect. They were impenetrable. They didn't understand human suffering. They couldn't be touched with. They're so other. But Jesus does the exact opposite. He steps into woundedness. He steps into the suffering of humanity. And this is the invitation of the wounded healer today, to receive healing through his wounds and to offer healing through our wounds. That Henry Nguyen quote, I'll end with this. I read only part of it earlier. It says this, nobody escapes being wounded. We are all wounded people, whether physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually. The main question is not how can we hide our wounds so we don't have to be embarrassed, but how can we put our woundedness in the service of others? When our wounds cease to be a source of shame and become a source of healing, we have become wounded healers. Our woundedness, once put under the healing grace of Jehovah Rapha, becomes a source of healing for those around us. I can't tell you how many stories of reconciliation between me and my dad that I've shared, and how many stories were birthed of people reconciling with their fathers and with their mothers and with the people in their lives. Our woundedness is meant to be healing for those around us when brought under the healing grace of Jehovah Rapha. And so the question I want to end with today is this. What is the Mara in your life? What are the bitter things you're experiencing? Where are the tears in your life? Maybe it's in your body. Maybe it's in your soul. Maybe it's in your relationships. Whatever it may be, this is what God is offering today. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is here to meet you in your woundedness, and he is here to be your healer, and he's here to turn your wounds into healing for the world. Why don't we pray? God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you're here today. And we thank you that you are healer. Today, I pray that we would come to know the healing power of Jehovah Rapha. Whether it's physical healing that we're praying for ourselves or for someone we know, whether it's an emotional healing that's deep within our souls, whether it's a healing in relationships, we thank you that you are still in the business of healing. And today, I pray that we would put our hope and our faith in Jehovah Rapha, that we would come to know you, God, who has healed throughout millennia, throughout scripture. We would come to know you in our lives today as healer. We come with our woundedness. We come with our bitterness. We come with our tears. And as you once turned the bitter water sweet through a tree, we declare that through the tree that Jesus hung on, you have brought healing to us right now. Listen, whatever it is, I want you just to invite Jehovah Rapha into the maras of your life, into the bitterness, into the tears, into the woundedness. Right now, just invite Jehovah Rapha. I ask for your healing. I ask you to come and make things right. I ask you to come to turn the bitter things into something sweet, to enter into my woundedness, to enter into my tears. Would you come and sit with me, God? Jehovah Rapha, we lean on you today. I want to do one more thing before we close. I'm not a huge altar call guy. You know, I never call us forward here to the stage, but there's something super powerful about inviting people into your woundedness. And so I want to create a space where if you want someone to come alongside your area of woundedness, if you want someone to come alongside your pain, your tears, if you want someone to come alongside you to have faith on your behalf for Jehovah Rapha, I'm just going to ask you in a moment just to lift up your hand. And for the rest of y'all that aren't lifting up your hand, if you see someone with their hand lifted, would you just come alongside them? And listen, you don't need to pray this crazy prophetic prayer over them. Like, just sit with them. Ask them how they're doing. Ask how you can pray for them. Ask how you can show up for their lives. And I really believe that God's going to move. He's never really moved with us calling people forward and praying. He's really moved through the prayers and the presence of our community. I believe he's going to do that today. So if you are going through something and you want more faith for your woundedness and you want to believe for Jehovah Rapha, if you have an area in your life where you are looking, longing, and praying for healing, would you just lift up your hand right now? Just in this moment of courage to be seen, to be vulnerable, just lift up your hand. And if you see someone around you with their hand lifted, would you just come alongside them and show up for them, be present for them? And so we're going to leave this space open a little longer. Just keep your hand lifted until someone comes next to you and like tap their shoulders so they don't keep their hands up so they know you're next to them. And please find someone. If someone's hand's raised, don't leave them. That's like the worst, okay? But want to just leave a moment longer open for if you want someone to come alongside your healing, just leave your hand up. Okay. And then we're going to close and dismiss the rest of you guys. But if you want to stay here in this space and cultivate that faith with the community, we're going to leave it open a moment longer. But let me close in prayer and then we'll go. Wounded healer, we thank you. You're not a God who does not empathize with our suffering, with our woundedness, but you yourself became wounded for us. And today we call upon the wounded healer, the one through whose wounds, through whose stripes, whose pain, whose suffering brought healing to our world. And we welcome you into the woundedness of our lives. Would you come? Through the presence of community, through the presence of one another, would you come and bring your healing? I love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.